I just ask you, Lord, help us to love you the way you deserve to be loved. Lord, your love is perfect. And it comes into our lives and it changes who we are. And Lord, if we will allow it, it can fill us. It can overflow from us. And that's what this world needs right now. In the times we are living, Lord, it needs, people need love. The right kind of love. Your love. So, Lord, now as we open up your word, I ask you to open up our mind and our hearts to you. And I ask you to speak to us this morning. We just pray this in your name. Amen. Now, sorry for the technical difficulties this morning. We'll see if we can work those little snafus out as we progress in the weeks to come. Now, before I get to my main sermon this morning, as Team Jesus, I wanted to... Because I struggled with what sermon I was going to give this morning. And I didn't really figure it out till Thursday morning. And because I hadn't had a sermon, but something was telling me maybe not the right time. And I really struggled. Now, last week I gave a sermon on John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And it was the correct sermon for last week. No matter what happens in this election, God stays on the throne. God's plan will be worked. And one day, one fine day, the trumpet will sound and the church will go home. Now, through this whole pandemic and crisis situation the world has been facing, some pastors, I know, made it sound like the rapture is going to happen this year. And it was going to be really soon. It can happen at any time, true. But I also have always put a disclaimer out there when I talk about it. It could be really soon, or it could be a little longer than we think. There might be more time in the days of sorrow before the end. How much time? I don't know. Yes, we're to be waiting for it. That's our hope. But at the same time, we have to stay focused. We're still here. And we still have a mandate and a purpose. But what I shared with last week was correct, and what we needed to hear. Looking at the Trump and Biden, I know there's still legal maneuvering going on. Possibility of election fraud. It's nothing new, right? We've heard that since 2016. Go to the next slide, Levi. 2016, Russian election meddling. 2018, Russian election meddling. 2019, Russian election meddling. 2020, our elections are safe and secure. If fraud took place last week, this is what I struggled with this week. I'm just going to speak a little bit on it, and then we're going to move to my sermon. If fraud did take place last week, if they get away with that, if it happened, then I'm not saying this as trying to exaggerate or dramatize the situation. If fraud took place last week and they get away with it, the United States of America died last week. The government of the people, by the people, and for the people doesn't exist. Tyranny exists. Banana Republic exists. If fraud took place and fraud flipped the election, America has changed. Your vote doesn't matter. Your right to vote, your right to influence the government by voting your candidate in, just got taken away from us. If it comes out that there was no fraud, okay, fine, then the process worked and we just have to deal with it. If it comes out that there was fraud and there seems to be a lot of evidence for fraud, if it's addressed, great. That's what we're going to pray for. If it's not addressed, we just lost our country, I'm going to be preaching about that. I got a sermon ready to go. a sermon that I never really imagined myself preaching. We're going to let the legal system take its course. We're going to pray that truth wins the day, no matter what truth it may be, fraud or no fraud, but that truth will win. But tyranny, I don't want to live under tyranny, do you? There's been a lot going on. This virus, the virus that was used to manipulate the election process, virus that is scaring a lot of people right now. Reading an article yesterday on the vaccine and how the vaccine is every syringe that the bottle of the vaccine comes in, the syringe are microchipped. They're saying that there's no RFID chips inside the vaccine, but the syringes and bottles are chipped. You see, there's a lot going on in the global scene right now. A lot of people are kind of blinded by just the virus. You know that the world is implementing and wanting the United Nations. And if Biden is going to be the president, he is for this, what they call the global reset. Resetting the world's economy. This isn't science fiction. It's out there. It's called the global reset. Basically, to destroy capitalism and bring in world control, United Nations control of the economies. ID 2020 is connected to this global reset. There's a lot happening. A lot of things seem to be just on the horizon from being implemented. If Biden becomes our next president, he has promised in the first day, to sign 5 different things with his signature. Pulling back some of President Trump's accomplishments. 2, I want to focus on just real quick. 1 is a policy on children's welfare. But basically, inside this order, he reopens federal funds, our tax dollars, to pay for abortions overseas. So on day 1, Mr. Biden thinks the best thing he can do as President of the United States is give back to slaughtering more babies. Second thing, have you guys heard of the Equality Act? How many of you heard of it? Not many. You need to look up. It's happening. He's going to sign it first day. The Equality Act is a new act against discrimination of lesbians, gays, transsexuals, bisexuals, all that sort of stuff. It's legislation from the government. But one very interesting clause inside the Equality Act that Biden says he'll sign on day 1. It's a religious exemption. Meaning, there is no religious exemption for Christian businesses, schools, churches. You can no longer, quote unquote, discriminate against the homosexual agenda. Hiring people, letting people join as members, and keeping men out of the women's bathrooms. You can't stop it. It'd be discriminating. You'll have lawsuits. People who examined the Equality Act said it's an act designed to destroy churches, to take down pastors, because they're the ones that are going to be accused of preaching hate speech, speech against others, because of what this says. Folks, there are some things coming. There might be coming. Depends again on the legal course this thing takes. There are things on the horizon that are going to be coming our way that are not pretty. We need to be a people of prayer. Go to the next slide, Levi. Sunday mornings, I'm asking us to be a people of prayer. We're praying for our country. We're praying for the direction. We're praying for our people. We need to be serious. Times are changing. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for this election, that the truth will come out. We need to be praying for our people who are lost. Half our nation, at least, are voting for a party and a political system that is completely anti-Bible, anti-God. And even half the people on the conservative side don't know the Lord. Our country's not sitting in a good place. Our people are not sitting in a good place. And who's going to pray for them if we don't? I'm asking us to be a people of prayer and coming together to pray. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. is the time we have slotted. God put it on my heart coming out of the lockdown. This is the time for my people to come together and pray. And be consistent. Don't give up. That's why we set the Psalms as the guideline. It's going to take us a long time to work our way through the Psalms. And that keeps us praying. Because a lot of people pray for a while, then things just happen and they just stop. I've already seen it, you know, people come and then they're not there anymore. Are we going to be consistent? Are we going to be serious about what God tells us to do as believers, as His church? It's time to step up and be a people of prayer. I'm asking you to join me. We will keep our eye on this election and what's happening, and we will move forward as Christians, as the church. But I'm not fearful, and we're not to be afraid. God is on the throne. But I see some things on the horizon. It's not going to be pleasant. As Team Jesus, we're going to stay focused on our Lord. We're going to stay focused on the mandate He has given us as His church. Today we come together, we huddle together as Team Jesus to hear from our Lord, go out and play the game. Now, in this series, we've been understanding who we are as Christians. As Team Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have a story to tell, folks. We used to be in darkness. We used to not be a child of God, but now we're in the light. Now we're children of God. He has cleansed us. He has redeemed us. He has made us His special people, His team. We have a mandate to go and tell other people about this. He's given us His Holy Spirit to do this. Acts 1:8, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Power to share your testimony. Power to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said, it is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. That is our strategy. This is what we're focused on doing. How are we going to accomplish this? We've been looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What Peter is saying here, that every believer, male, female, everyone must be able to understand what they believe and why they believe it. To articulate one's belief humbly, thoughtfully, reasonably, and most important, biblically. We've been looking at certain topics. First one was your testimony. Testimony challenge and how to do your testimony. And again, you know, testimony is your born-again moment. It is hard to form a testimony if you don't have a true born-again moment. I understand that. And you don't want to form a testimony if you don't have a true born-again moment, because technically you don't have a testimony. But we're able to share our testimony. We were once in darkness, now we're in the light. Once we were not the people of God, now we are. There is a way to do your testimony, to share it. Your Lord deserves that. He died for you in a public and most grotesque manner. He died for you, saved you. He deserves for you to tell His story. And then the gospel. Gospel, and I asked you as your pastor, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I asked you to memorize. It's not hard. It'll take a little effort. But with Christ, we can do all things. To memorize the gospel, because that's how important it is. To be able to share the gospel. You're going to see a video here in a second of why it's so important to memorize Scripture. And don't let the enemy or anything get in your mind that you can't memorize Scriptures. Because the Bible says we can do all things through Christ. Memorize the Scripture. Memorize the gospel. Be able to explain the gospel. And finally, we looked at, does God exist? Five reasons that we talked about somebody that God exists. Now there's a new flyer in your bulletin. If you didn't pick it up, you can pick one up on the way out. But there's a new flyer because we're going to be talking about the Bible. The last thing we talked about, has God revealed Himself to us? And there was two special ways. The Bible and the man Jesus Christ. Two special ways that God has shared with us who He is. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." The word of God, this book, there's nothing like it on the planet. Nothing. Hopefully by the end of this little series, maybe in this sermon today, you're going to find a new appreciation for what you hold in your hands. It's alive. It's powerful. It has the ability to save people for all eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "For the believer, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Oh, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." This book, when you read it, the Holy Spirit takes these words that are alive and powerful and transforms you, restores you, it renews you, changes us from the inside out. See, religion is only worried on the outside. Put on a good appearance. Oh, true Christianity, the true faith, goes inside. Because that's where the problem is. That's where the evil is. The sin. The heart. This changes us. This renews the mind. To stop thinking like our old selves and to start thinking like God. The sanctification process, the transformation of every believer into the image of Jesus Christ, starts with the Word of God. And there's no escaping it. It's so precious. Believer, if you have no desire to read this, in love, I say this. If you really have no desire to read this for yourself, there's a problem. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, if you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He brings the desires of God into your life. Desires that were not there before suddenly appear. And there is a desire to read the Word. We should be like newborn babes that desire the milk of the Word. If you don't have that desire, if it's more of an obligation that you feel, oh, I have to do it because I'm a believer, something is majorly wrong with your faith. One, you don't have true saving faith. Or two, you've been taught religion. And religion is a burden. There's a freedom here. There's liberty in Christ. There's a joy to the Word of God. Where we will end today, there's joy with the Word of God. Don't let the enemy turn it into an obligation, a burden. But why is it so important to know the Word of God? I want you to watch this video. I've played this video before. But it's probably the most powerful testimony of what a true believer, in the worst of conditions, how they desire and need the Word of God, how important it is for a true believer of God, the Bible.
Telling others about Jesus. Shoot me. The interrogations are the only time I am out of solitary. I am losing hope and fear I have been forgotten. I recite Bible verses to myself, but the words are getting harder and harder to remember. I can handle the torture, the starvation, but I desperately need my Bible. Every day I pray, over and over, for God to give me a Bible. Now I have my chance. The interrogations have ended, and the guards trust me to go into the jungle to gather firewood. Working as fast as I can, I will collect 2 days' worth of firewood. I'll bring one bundle back. I'll leave the second bundle in the woods. This is what I need to do. It is very risky, but God is answering my prayer. I will risk everything to have a Bible. I don't want to leave my wife, but I have to, or she will be in danger. Leaving her is so hard. God has answered my prayer. I have a Bible, but I must be careful. They found my Bible, but I will not give up. I will bring in more Bibles. I will read God's Word every chance I get. Then the letters came. Letters from me. Letters from Christians all over the world. God not only answered my prayer for a Bible, He let me know I am not forgotten.
แล้วก็ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณอนาพี่น้องทั่วโลกที่อธิษฐานอ้อนวอนเพื่อโอ้แล้วก็หมู่คู่ที่น้องอยากจะคุกแล้วก็ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณพี่น้องทั่วโลก
What makes one believer willing to go to prison, die, be beaten, to have a Bible? And another person, another Christian, who doesn't read their Bibles, as 82% of American Christians don't. What's the difference? That man lives in an area where the faith, it costs to be a believer. I also believe that our country is changing in such a way there's going to be a cost to us as well. Are we ready for that cost? What would you do for a Bible? Well, for us, we have them. Probably we have multiple ones. What is it about this book that some will really lay their lives down for, others don't care about, but others fear? You know, there are those that fear the Bible. Whole governments. Go to the next slide. North Korea sends a Canadian pastor to life in prison for having a Bible and giving Bibles out. Why is the government, this not just North Korea, it's many of them around the world where this is illegal. What's so scary about a book to these government officials? But it's not just foreign governments. Here in our own United States of America, 2, 3, 4 years ago, 2016. Next one. All right, there you go. Good. School orders teachers to remove religious items from classrooms. You can't even have a Bible out. Not being read, not being taught, just out. That's scary. Why? But here in America, we have another problem with the Bible. Why are so many Christians biblically illiterate? This was actually on Fox News. This was 4 years ago. So most Christians know enough about the Bible to be dangerous. The Bible in America is a massive industry, a lot of money to be made. The Bible has become a moving target. One can strip it down, twist it, misread it, add to it, supplement it, and even overrule it. And unfortunately, 95% of the congregation will not realize it's happened. That's how false teachers and cults get started. Because people say, well, here's what the Bible says, and the people don't know it because they're not reading it for themselves. Because Americans no longer know the Bible. The evidence is overpowering that contemporary Christianity is Bible-ish, at best, and at worst, in some cases, Bible-less. Clearly, the challenge of biblical illiteracy in America is not because of a shortage of Bibles, but rather knowledge and appreciation of the Bible's message. We don't appreciate what we have. That's what hopefully will change through this series. We will see the Bible for what it truly, truly is. Five areas we're going to look at in the next couple weeks. Five areas of the Bible. Just like we had five areas to talk about the existence of God, here we have five areas for the Bible. How we know the Bible is truly a book beyond the creation of man. That only God could author this book. Why some believers are so desperate to have one, while other believers don't really care. That man's testimony, ever since I've seen it, just wow. I know, as your pastor, you've heard it from me multiple times over the last 7 years about reading your Bibles. There's going to be things, some of you have attended my apologetics conferences, which this sermon series is based on. So some of this may be, oh, I've heard this before. I heard someone say, well, I don't really need to come to church now because I've been through your conference. Well, let me put it this way. I don't care how many times you've been through my conference, you don't remember it all because I threw so much information out there. And it's good to get your mind to hear something a few times so it really gets in. And so here's where I'm going to challenge you to learn this stuff, to keep these little flyers together and get yourself ready. You know, I never thought I was going to be a believer, let alone a pastor of a church. You know, when I was in the Army, I was a chaplain. I was a good guy. I was there to preach the word and help soldiers find God. That was our motto, bringing God to soldiers and soldiers to God. But before I was in the Army, I was in the United States Marine Corps. And there I was just a sergeant, but I was a platoon sergeant. And I was good at being a platoon sergeant. And my job as platoon sergeant was to take my platoon of Marines. It was on me to get them ready. I was tasked with getting them ready to survive a combat situation. The training was on me for them. For them, it was resting on my shoulders. To make sure they were physically fit. To make sure they were proficient with their weapon. To make sure they knew how to fight. They knew tactics. They knew their job. I trained Marines. That's what my job was. To make them better Marines. And get them ready. I became a believer as a sergeant in the Marine Corps. And what I planned to do with my life was to spend my life in the Marine Corps doing what I was doing. And God said, no, I got other plans. I'm going to take you and I'm going to teach you. First, I got to mold you. I got to break you. There's so much bad about you. I got to fix a lot. So I'm going to take you on a journey. First, you're going to be saved. You need to repent. And he brought me to a saving knowledge of him. And I repented and I was born again. And that was just the beginning. Then sanctification needed to happen. He needed to equip me. He needed to mold me. But first, he had to break me down. So we went on a 9-year journey with God. And he got me ready to do literally what I used to do in the Marine Corps, but in a spiritual sense. As I made Marines in the Marine Corps, he called me to make disciples. in the church. Not just attend a church. Not just make a church a social club. Not just go along and be friendly with the world and have a church. You know, if the world loves your church, you're doing something wrong. No, it was to come in to lead a church, to lead Christians, to help them become disciples, to be equipped, to have endurance, to have faith, to have knowledge. I understand what it means to take somebody and get them ready for a mission. It's been ingrained in me. And God is using that to help me get Christians ready. I'm going to stop here. I actually had more, but I don't want to rush this. But I want you to understand why we're doing this series. Why I'm teaching on testimony, gospel, how to talk about God, how to talk about the Bible. Because so many people are lost. And we're the team. You're my team. I've been called to equip you, to get you ready. That's my job as a pastor. Equipping the saints. Some of you are equipped and knowledgeable, and that's great. Some of you are not. But as a team, we all have to be. And I just want to encourage you. God wants to work through us. God wants to work through us. He has called us to such a time as this. We're the team on the field. The next couple of weeks, we'll talk about the Bible. And it's just incredible. This is such an amazing book. I'm going to prove to you that man could not have authored this. It's beyond man. It's a book that you get to hold and that'll change you forever if you dare to open it. It's a glorious thing. And my brother in Christ in that video, what was I doing when he was in jail? When he was craving for a Bible, what was I doing? I could probably go back and analyze. There was probably a lot of complaining and feeling sorry for myself in certain things. I don't know. All he wanted was a Bible. I want us to have a passion for the Bible like that. Because if we have a passion for the Bible, we won't be your average American Christian. And right now, America doesn't need average American Christians. It needs Christians who are about to go forth, who will overcome. And as we used to say in the Marine Corps, improvise, adapt, and overcome. No enemy will defeat us. Nothing will stop us. We will always improvise, we will adapt, and we will overcome the enemy. Believers, I know I was in the Army, but I was a Marine first. And in my church, we're not just going to be disciples. We need to be more than disciples. We need to have the heart of warriors. We have an armor of God to put on and wear. We need to fulfill that armor. Times are changing. Things are coming. And we need to be ready. I'm excited. And I'm passionate. I know many of you are as well. Like I said, I had more of the sermon, but I'm going to have to leave it for next week. I didn't even get to the sermon, actually. That's okay. Gordon, back out of the program. Go down to the bottom to where it says Team Jesus right before the last song and open it up right there. Okay. I wanted to leave here today focused on good, on God, and on what is good and what is righteous and on His Word. And I wanted to leave here knowing that we're going to face a week. We don't know what's going to happen this week with the lockdowns, with the virus, with the election. It just seems there's a lot hitting us. And I wanted us to leave here focused on what is good. So I want to end with this song. And it's usually a song we start the service with when we do play it. But I wanted to end the service. And it's the days of Ezekiel, the days of Elijah. That song, because it's just, it's a good song. It's about God's word. And it's about God's word coming true. We are living God's word today. And it's an exciting time. It can be scary if we take our eyes off of Christ. If we keep our eyes on Christ, we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. And God can use us. Bring other souls into the kingdom. And that's all that matters. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help us to understand what you were calling us to be. Not average. Not average Christians. Not average churchgoers. But to become your team, your players that are dedicated, your good soldiers that are dedicated and willing to sacrifice, willing to suffer if need be, all for the cause of Christ. All for the cause of the gospel. For the lost souls that are out there that we can help. Lord, it comes down to us knowing our Bibles, letting the Bible have its way in us to renew the mind, restore the soul. Lord, to equip us, to complete us, to sanctify us. That your Holy Spirit may have full and free reign in us to guide and to direct, to comfort, to teach, to use, Lord, to do your will. No matter what's going to come our way, no matter what plans the enemy may have, no plans, whatever plans that men and women are devising out there to come against your church, to come against your word, your truth, they will not overcome the truth. Because you are on the throne. You are the God that prophesied of the bones, the dry bones in the desert coming back to life. And Israel now is back in the land. Lord, you made that promise to Abraham thousands of years ago. And you're keeping it to this very day. You are the God that makes all things exist. You are the God that loves and saves and shows grace even when we were enemies. Even when we were enemies towards you. Lord, I ask you to help us to stay focused on who you are, how good you are, how great you are. And let us be disciples worthy of you. Team players worthy of your team. Help us, Lord. Help us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing this song. Please stand up. Randy, you can join me back up here too. Come on, man. You know, it's got dance moves. We are God's people. We're going to go forth as His team and play the best game we can this week. But it starts with opening up the Bible, spending time with God, letting that book change you and equip you and sanctify you. If anyone has any questions, any fears, call me, come see me, come talk to me. Let's go forth and play our best game. We're going to break our huddle and go onto the playing field of the world. 3, 2, 1, break. Let's go.